seated. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You glad to be in the house of the Lord here today?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no better place to be than to be in the house of the Lord, gathered in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, because we know that He said that where two or three are gathered in His name, that He would be in the midst with us. So that means that He is here, His abilities are here, your help is here. I'll tell you what, there, you know, you read through the Gospels, you see a lot of people that they were just pressing through the crowds, just trying to get where Jesus is at. Well, guess what? We don't have to, necessarily, you know, fight through the crowds or whatever. Praise the Lord, we have a good crowd here. But you know what I'm saying? That as we gather together, that He's going to be there no matter where we are. Amen, when we gather in that name. And so as we come to church, we come into this place together, our help is automatically here because we don't gather in any other name but the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, it's so good to see everyone here this morning. We just, again, we welcome our first-time guests that you're visiting Family Church for the first time, or maybe this is your second or third time. We're just so glad to have you here. We just love seeing our church family grow. We love having new faces with us all the time. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we just know that God's got a good plan for your life, and we're here to teach the Bible, not my opinions, not man's opinions, but the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, right? But to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God has the answer. You know, He knows how to make a dark day bright. He knows how to make the sick healthy. He knows how to change, make the impossible possible. He's good. And it all comes from the Word of God right here. So praise the Lord. We just want you to find Family Church a warm place, a welcoming place. It's definitely a warm place today. Glory to God. And also, we want to, again, just extend a happy Father's Day to all of our dads here and future dads. Don't forget to get your Tim Hortons gift card. All you guys, as you head out, the coffee and donuts is on us. Praise the Lord. So go ahead and enjoy that. I'm so grateful for my dad. It was hands down his influence in my life, his reminders to me. That steered me in the direction to serve the Lord. When I started to veer course, it was the reminder of his character, his love walk, that brought me back. Praise the Lord. So we just are appreciative of godly dads. You're here today. Way to go, dads. You know, here we have a full church on our hands here. Do you know that there's 3 days during the summer that are typically the least attended church days of the entire year? Number one is Memorial Day. Number two is Labor Day at the end of the summer. And right there in the middle, number three is Father's Day. That across America, of course, Mother's Day, the churches are filled. And Father's Day, the churches are empty. But not this church. Praise the Lord. You know, they say that 70% of America's churches are women and only 30% men. You know, the good news is that we're destroying that number here at Family Church. We're seeing, you know, men take their place as their role of head of the home and spiritual leaders. So praise God. Dads, we salute you. We're grateful. We just praise the Lord for you here today. Glory to God. And last but not least, you may notice the air conditioning is not working here today. So we woke up to, we're getting ready, and those that were arriving at the church, they discovered that the air conditioning units for the sanctuary aren't working. And of course, we'll have them in there to fix it this week, but it probably won't be fixed by the end of the service today. So you get to go ahead and get ready for an old-fashioned, sweated-out sermon. Get ready to make your bulletin fans. Get ready to you know, I'm going to be preaching, and I already see some of this going on. That's all right. Probably in a few minutes, I'm going to preach without my suit coat on. Guys, if you wore a suit today, you lose the jackets. That's fine. You know, we don't have a dress code. You don't have to wear a suit here at Family Church. If you did and you take your coat off, we don't have to sweat through our jackets to prove how spiritual we are. Right? If you were part of this church back in the old building, we didn't have air conditioning in that building. And if we did, it was window units that we'd have to sit there and listen, wah, and have those things blaring in our ears. So it'll be quiet in here, but it'll be warm. Praise the Lord. And I personally think there's one of two things going on. Either one, somebody sabotaged the AC units for the sanctuary, hoping that it would make my service a little shorter. That not gonna, we got a big amen from Jim Mitchell. Yeah, we found our saboteur. All right. Or second, this is judgment for us guys who skip church during the year. Oh, and so here it is. We're gonna do a little warm exercise in church here today. Maybe what I'll do is have the light people, if you guys upstairs want to go ahead, and why don't we just take the stage lights off, because these babies are burning 600 watts each. So it's only a few hundred degrees up there near those lights. So let's go ahead and take down these. Not the altar lights, you know, I want, you know, at least to be seen. I don't want to be up here in the dark. But the stage lights, we can bring those down. Praise the Lord, we'll save a few degrees. And you'll notice we do have a half a dozen fans or whatever all the way up at the top of the building. You know, some of you that count ceiling boards, you know that already. But we have well, I don't know, 5 or 6 fans up there. And the question that might come to your mind is, how come we don't turn those on? Those are actually not for summer. They're actually more of a winter thing. They will push the heat down here because it's actually a lot warmer once you get about 20 feet up there. Praise the Lord. And that's 40 feet. 39 feet and about 8 inches to that peak. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And if you ever have questions about the building, if you really like counting the ceiling boards and things, I'll tell you how many there are. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, guys, just go ahead and drop the stage lights if you can. We'll keep these altar lights on. Drop the stage lights completely. We don't need to have a campfire here. We don't need to be roasting any marshmallows under our hot lights. There we go. Yep, you can. Whoa. No, we don't want to do that. Let's not do that. I want all the lights on. Just these ones over the stage can go off. Praise the Lord. There we go. Don't you love modern technology? See, when I was a kid, when you turn the lights on, you flip a switch. Yeah, right. Now you sit at a computer keyboard and turn on the lights. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you ready to have fun in church today? Yeah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin our 3-hour sermon. And the name of the title of the sermon today is The Sweat Box. And why you need to sit in one for a while. No, that's actually not true. The title of today's sermon is The Miraculous Church. And this is the second part to this. We're going to go over there to Ephesians chapter 2. And I tell you what, I'm going to lose my jacket right now because I feel it coming on. And I don't need to prove how spiritual I am to sweat in my suit coat. Praise the Lord. And I wear those suits a lot, and dry cleaning really adds up. Praise the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go over there to verse 4, and starting in verse 5. But last week I started a series of messages called The Miraculous Church. And we started to see that it has always been God's desire to live on the inside of mankind. Praise the Lord. you know, and it is his desire. And we know, we looked last week, we looked over there at Leviticus chapter 26. We looked at Ezekiel chapter, 36. We looked over there and we saw that God had prophesied thousands of years ago that he was going to raise up a breed of mankind where he would actually live on the inside of us. That he would walk in us, that he would be our God, that we would be a supernatural people upon this earth. And last week we saw that the number one characteristic of being the church is that we are God indwelt. There, we are called over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are a new creation, something that this earth had never seen until Jesus died, rose again, and the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us. We're a race or a breed of mankind that never existed until this day. We are called the church. We are called the body of Christ. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 1 last week, and it says that we, the body of Christ, fill all and all. Meaning if God's going to fill this earth with his plan, with his blessing, he's going to use his people to do it. Yes. It's not coming any other way. Praise the Lord. And so we took a look at that. And we are new, a new creation being. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't live in the Ark of the Covenant anymore. He lives on the inside of us. He got out of the box. So it's time for the church to get out of the box. And actually be a church and be the church. And of course, you know that the church is not this building. It's the people. God calls us living stones being built up to a holy habitation of God. If God's going to dwell anywhere, he does not dwell in the buildings made by man. He dwells in the heart or the inner temple. All right. And there's two ways in which God dwells in us. Number one, as individuals in our bodies. And number two, he dwells in the midst of the gathered church. Yeah, the corporate church, he lives, he dwells with us as we gather together. Right. I already quoted Jesus over there in Matthew where he says, where two or three are gathered, that in my name, that's where I'll be. So guess what? God dwells in us. We together make a habitation for God. And this isn't just true of family church. This is true of any church that'll preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. That calls upon the name of Jesus. And now God for thousands of years has prophesied this new breed of man that he would live inside. Well, guess what? You and I are the fulfillment of those prophecies. We are the generation of people that he has been waiting thousands of years for. Yes. And actually, we are the race or the breed of man that the world has been waiting for. A God-filled man on the earth. Well, it started, the first of many brethren was Jesus himself. And then he reproduced himself in all of us. Yes. That's who we are. We are reproductions of Jesus. Yes. All right? Amen. So we saw this last week that number one, we are God indwelt. And that is the number one characteristic of the church. And now we're going to talk today about what it is that makes the church miraculous. Yes. And what is so different about you as compared to the rest of the world, and why you are the hope of the world, why you are the salt of the earth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 5. And this is a scripture that we go to a lot around here. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but just a little reminder for us. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 5. Let's go ahead and bring that up. And I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he, meaning God, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That word quickened, it literally means to be made alive. All right? But I kind of like that old English word, quickened. You know, I tell you what, that's exactly what God's people need. They need a quickening. They need a little jump in their step. They needed a little life, you know, added to them. But the fact of the matter is, this is what God calls you if you are born again. He quickened you. He made you alive with Christ. Listen, how many of you believe Jesus is alive?
Yes.
How many of you believe he's alive with a supernatural life?
Yes.
Well, God says that you are just as much alive as Jesus is.
Yes, that's right.
All right, you have the same level of life he has. You don't have the same rank he has, but you have the same level of life. You know, some people, they see themselves as, now of course in rank, Jesus is the Son of God, he's the King of Kings. We do not excel him in rank, all right? But so many people, they see themselves less than Jesus in terms of the life that lives on the inside of them, and that's a failure. Listen, there is no difference of the life that raised Jesus from the dead than the life that made you born again. It was just as miraculous. You know, maybe at that moment, of course, Jesus was raised up out of hell and out of the grave, and maybe your conversion or your new birth experience wasn't as dramatic as that, but in the eyes of God, it was. It was just as miraculous when you got born again as when Jesus came out of the grave. God said it was the same thing as far as he was concerned. No, you weren't in hell. No, you weren't paying the price of the sins of mankind, but you were just as dead in God's eyes as Jesus was when he paid for the sins of the world. And when Jesus came to life, the same thing happened when you got born again. You came to life, and God quickened you, made you alive. You were born again together with Christ, and it's by his grace. It was God's idea. It wasn't yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't make it happen. He did it for you. Aren't you glad? And now, so it says that we're alive with him. And verse 6 says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're alive in Christ. We're raised in Christ. And we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ. Aren't you glad? Oh, I tell you, that means, see, we're not just a converted church. We didn't just find religion. Listen, we became a supernatural race of mankind. The church, his body, where we would go out and be the channel to this world, that God would change this world with these people, with us. Amen. So I didn't just find religion. I got born again, alive with Christ. I'm raised with him. I'm resurrected. See, that's what this new race of the church is. We are resurrected man. We are the redeemed of the Lord. All right? This is why resurrected man should not live like dead in sins mankind. See, that's the problem, is that a lot of Christians, in God's eyes, they're resurrected. They are the redeemed of the Lord, but they live as if they were still in spiritual death. See, go back up there to verse 5. It says, when you were dead in sins. That is exactly what we were before Christ. Spiritually dead in the eyes of God. Nothing to offer, nothing good, no eternal life, just judgment and being apart from God and alienated from God. But now you've been made alive with him. You were apart, and now you've been fused together with Christ. Praise the Lord. Go back there to verse 6. And it says that you've been raised with him, and now you've been made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You literally have been welded together, fused to him. All right? So praise the Lord. So obviously, we are not just a finding religion. And notice, we are more than just washed from our sins. We are more. Now, how many of you know that being washed from our sins is first and foremost? But how many of you know it didn't stop there? Yeah, glory to God. He washed you from your sins, made you alive, raised you with Christ, and seated you with Christ, and fused you together with all power, with all authority, with all miracle-working power on this earth. I tell you what, that's why the church, meaning the born-again believer, is the ultimate hope. It is God's solution to win the world. Yeah. You say, you know, where is God working today? What is his heart's focus? It's the local church. Yeah. It's the church. The church is the answer to this broken world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we're alive, we're raised, and we're seated with Christ. All right? So now we need to ask ourselves, you know, notice, go back up there to verse 5. I'm making these guys jump around a lot, these two verses. It says, when you were dead in sins. Notice, being dead in sins is something you were, but you are not anymore. Amen. Now you're alive with Christ. Is there any sin in Christ?
No.
No. Is there any sin on the right hand of the Father? No. No. Is there any sin in being raised with Christ? When Jesus was resurrected out of the grave, did he come out of that grave with any sin?
No.
He left it in the grave.
That's right.
And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he sat there without any sin.
That's right.
All right? In the same way, you were dead in sins, but now you're alive.
Yes.
You can't be both. See, a lot of Christians, they still think that they are an old sinner. I'm just a sinner. Well, then we have a problem then. Houston, we have a big problem. Because if you remain a sinner, sinners do not inherit the kingdom of God. You are not, in the eyes of God, you are no longer a sinner. Now, is it possible for a Christian to sin against God? Sure, it's possible. All right? But we should, if we sin against God, it should hurt our hearts, where we have been such, we've received his grace and his love that we don't want to sin against God anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see this, that we are quickened. What are we made alive from? We're alive from death that was a result of sin. We've been raised out of sin. We've been seated with Christ out of sin. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, remember that. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. We are raised, right? We are alive. We are raised, and we are seated with Christ. That means we are separated from our sins.
That's right.
I'm glad. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Are you ready? This is what makes the church the miraculous church on this earth. Because we, not family church, I mean born-again Christians, are the only breed of mankind, all right, that are without the dominion of sin. Come on now. Every other human being besides a born-again Christian is still dead in sins and under the control and the dominion of sin. But if you are born again, you are no longer under the control of sin. Therefore, you are not under control of anything that's the result of sin. Come on now. This is going to provide some revelation for you. You're going to get a hold of this, and all of a sudden the light bulb is going to go off on the inside, and we're going to realize, oh my goodness, no wonder why God sent us here.
Yes.
No wonder why he put his church on this earth.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go over there to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 14. Romans 6:14. See, this is what makes the church so able to be miraculous. We are no longer under the dominion or the control of sin. Why? We're alive, we're raised, and we're seated. There's a big difference. See, the world without Jesus is dead, right? They are diminished. And they are without that seat.
That's right.
All right? Come on now. Yes. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be saved here today? Let's go to Romans 6:14. It says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you."
Amen.
For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Notice that the Old Testament law was a law that just made us aware of how much we sin. The Ten Commandments were just to remind mankind that you're always sinning. That apart from God's grace, apart from his anointing, apart from his leading, we can't do anything but sin. But since you were born again and you got a new nature, you've been delivered from that. And so now it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That word dominion, it means rule, it means reign, or it also means control. Sin does not control the Christian. And that's where the church has been deceived. They're still under this idea that we are still sinners. No, we are not. Let me show you. You don't need to turn there. Bring up 1 Peter 2:24, just so we know this and can look at it. We're just going to bring up a few verses just to solidify what we're saying here. It's talking about Jesus, who his own self bear, that means he carried or bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Notice he carried our sins for us so that we would be dead to sin. Where is sin in our life? It's dead. Where's the dominion of sin in our life? It's dead. It's gone. Sin can't control us, therefore the devil can't control us. Glory to God. The scripture that set me free when I was addicted to alcohol, Colossians 1:13, if you could bring that up. Colossians 1:13. Praise the Lord. This was actually the very verse that set me free from alcoholism. It says, speaking of what God did for us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right. The word kingdom, it means the rule, reign, and power of Jesus Christ. Okay? The word power there, the power of darkness, it's a similar word. It means the control or the rule or the dominion of darkness. Notice, if you're born again, he has delivered you. Praise the Lord. Notice it's not something that's going to happen. Notice it's something that has already happened.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, see, when I was addicted to alcohol and I started to want to serve God and I gave my life to the Lord and there were still some things in my life that needed to be corrected, you know, I would go before God and I would cry out and I'd say, God, take this away. God, take this away. Make me not want to do this anymore. And see, that's the misunderstanding that so many Christians have today. God, take it away. And he's going to say right back down to us, I did. Because essentially we're saying, God, deliver me. And he's going to say right back, I did deliver you. Right? I did. I already delivered you 2,000 years ago. That is where your greatest deliverance was ever won, was at that cross, at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
You're not going to get delivered in the future. You have been delivered 2,000 years.
Good help.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And see, God is waiting for us to say what he's saying.
Yes.
See, the church is saying, you know, I'm addicted or I'm trapped in this. I can't get free. And he wants us to say, I'm delivered. See, notice what happens when darkness tries to creep into your life. Here's the assignment of God. You tell that darkness, I'm delivered. When that addiction, you know, tries to come back, I'm delivered from you.
That's right, good.
God is not going to speak to the addiction for you. God isn't going to make up your mind for you. God isn't going to deal with that thing for you. He gave us the command, all right? Who speaks to the mountain, God or us?
We do. Yes.
Can you bring that up real quickly? Yes. We'll bring up Mark 11:23, just so you know. But notice, you are delivered.
Yes.
Whatever that darkness is trying to creep into your life, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness or disease or temptation or whatever it is, all right, I'll tell you what, you're delivered right now.
Yes.
Come on now. I'll tell you what, we can either let the darkness creep in and say, oh God, God, you see it coming? God, this thing is trying to get on me. God, this thing is trying to get on me. God, God. And he's going to stand there and he's going to do nothing. Say, oh my goodness, that rocks my spiritual world. What do you mean God's going to do nothing? Because it's already finished.
That's right. Very good.
Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He's going to do nothing more for you than what he has already done. Oh, come on now. Jesus speaking to us, he says, for verily, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain. Notice, do we have any whosoevers here today? Yeah, I'm a whosoever. So this applies to me. Notice it didn't say that God would say to the mountain. It said that a whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he, the whosoever, shall have whatsoever the whosoever says.
That's right.
Did you get all that? Praise the Lord. Guess who the whosoever is? It's you. It's me.
That's right.
And we have to do the talking to the mountain. And yet, well, all the time, we say, God, move that thing. God, move that thing. God, move that thing. And he's going to say, I told you to speak to the mountain. He's not going to talk to the mountain for you. Come on now. Say, well, Pastor, you know, we've heard this before, but are you doing it?
There you go.
Are you doing it? Praise the Lord. All right, so we're back over here to Romans chapter 6, and we're in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the control of sin. You are not under the control of darkness of any sort. Darkness can't control you. So you need to ask yourself, is sin part of darkness?
Yes.
Yep. So you don't have to do it anymore.
Amen.
Is sickness under the power of darkness?
Yes,
it is. Are you delivered from it?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Is poverty a form of darkness according to the word?
Yes,
yes it is. Is depression and anxiety and fear a part of darkness? Yes, it is. Guess what? You're delivered from it. And so many Christians say, if I'm delivered from it, then why am I facing it? Because as long as you keep your mouth shut, you will continue to face it. Until you speak to that darkness and say, literally, the words out of your mouth, fear, you do not belong on my life. You talk, you know, when that spirit of fear, you know, is in your presence and you start to sense that fear, that is when you are going to have to open your mouth and say, fear, you don't belong to me. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm delivered from you. When the symptom tries to get on your body, symptom, I am delivered from you. Right? When the anxiety or the suicidal thoughts, I'm delivered from you. You say, well, I'm just asking God to take it away. You will ask and you will ask and you will ask and you will spend a lifetime defeated. Because God did not tell you to ask him to take away the darkness. He already did.
He already did.
He already delivered you from it. Hallelujah. So that's two sides of the ball that we can be on as Christians. Either we can see ourselves as undelivered, or we can see ourselves as already delivered. And much of the body of Christ today is running around acting like they are undelivered. God, take this away. God, do this. God, do that. Which God wants us to call on him. Do not misunderstand me. But when it comes to the promises of God, he gave you the assignment to protect him. God, don't you see this darkness coming in on my life? Deliver me from it. I did. I'm waiting for you to say that you are delivered. Come on now. Praise the Lord. You know, it should be just downright intolerable to allow darkness to creep on our lives in any form. Because this is what makes the church so miraculous. We have been put on a sinful world that is controlled by sin, except we're the only ones who are not.
That's good.
Meaning the believers, the church, regardless of what church name is on their door, if they're born again, they're delivered.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let's see. Go over to Romans chapter 5, and now we'll build on this some more. See, this is the heart or the root of why the church is so miraculous.
Yes.
We're not under the control of darkness. Because isn't everything on this earth... don't you see a lot of darkness on this earth? Do you see a lot of darkness in our political system? Oh, yeah. Do you see a lot of darkness in our economic system? Oh, yeah. Do you see a lot of darkness even in the church system? Oh, yeah. And I mean, you see a lot of darkness everywhere you go. All right? But guess who was placed here to be the light? Guess who was brought to this earth to change that darkness? Me and you.
That's right.
Glory to God. See, the Bible says over there in Philippians chapter 2, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether things in heaven, things on the earth, or things under the earth. All right? And we'll confess, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? And so it says that the name of Jesus caused everyone in heaven to bow. The name of Jesus, when that name is uttered, the angels in heaven have to hit their knees. Because that name is so powerful that even all the family of God in heaven, the angels, what do? When they hear that name, they bow. So everyone in heaven bows at the name of Jesus. You believe that? I believe it. I believe that the name of Jesus works in heaven. How about on this earth? Where did it say the name of Jesus? Every knee shall bow in heaven and in the earth. Everything in this earth has to bow or to submit to that name. Well, guess who's been given that name? You and I. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, the things of this earth would not bow to the name of Jesus if we were still under the dominion of sin. But we are not under the dominion of sin. We are not under control of it anymore. Amen. Therefore, we are released from anything that sin caused.
Yes,
go over to Romans 5 and verse 12. See, this is what, it's going to make a lot of sense.
Yes,
see, we are, what's taking place on this earth right now is a collision between light and darkness.
Sure.
And guess what side we are? We are a collision. It is a full force collision. Why do you think they hate us so bad? Why do you think our government is trying to, you know, stop, you know? I mean, my goodness, you know, isn't it amazing? You know, when I say this, I'm not trying to get political. It's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing behind it. How is it that Islam and Muslims can knock over buildings, blow up things, shoot up stuff, and yet they still get protected? But yet the Christians who are running churches, orphanages, hospitals, are being a blessing to the world, we are still so-called the problem. Why is that? Because they're terrified of the name that we have. They are terrified at the name of Jesus. See? Come on now. They will even defend other religions that are, they're doing everything that against what they so-called stand for, you know, shooting down people, killing homosexuals, all right? The church isn't doing that. We want to help them. We want to help. We want to be a blessing. See, the Christians, we don't hate what we disagree with. We've been taught to love who disagrees with us. We love them. We do good unto them. See, but they, in Islam, have been taught to kill those who we disagree with. And yet, the liberal mindset will still defend Islam over Christianity. Why? Because we, the church, have the name and Islam doesn't. That's absolutely right. Why? Because light and darkness is colliding on this earth right now. It's colliding on this earth. And I'll tell you, sometimes that collision is violent. Sometimes the collision between light and darkness, it isn't always an easy or pretty thing. Sometimes there's big decisions, you know, involved with it. You know, sometimes it takes a real test of character and integrity to stand up and to remain faithful to God, even when you see a society all around you that is growing more dark and more evil by the day. Well, guess what? You know, the darker they get, the brighter your light's going to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let me show you this. Romans chapter 5, and go to verse 12. It's on the same page in my Bible. It says, wherefore, as by one man, this is talking about Adam and Eve, by one man sin entered into the world. Thanks, Adam. Happy Father's Day. You know, I'm just kidding. Of course, you know, I say this is that a lot of human beings don't understand the level of temptation that Adam was facing. Most of us, when we deal with any kind of demonic agent, we're dealing with a demon. Adam dealt with Satan himself. All right, and so it was a higher temptation. But we know that sin entered the world through Adam's trespass. Okay? And now notice the rest of the verse. It says, and death entered by sin. Okay? That word death there, it doesn't mean just to die naturally. It also means spiritual death. It also means destruction. Okay? It's anything, any resemblance of death. All right? It could be sickness.
Sure.
It could be disease. It could be depression. What is all that stuff? That is just a form of destruction or death trying to work in our bodies and our minds. All right? But notice, by one man, by Adam, sin entered the world, and death and all that other stuff entered the world through sin. Before Adam sinned, was he ever afraid? Was he ever sick? Did he ever lack? No, he never lacked one thing before he sinned. He never was afraid before he sinned. He never was sick before he sinned. He never faced any of that until sin entered in, and then death entered in the human race. And it said it passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That is the condition of the world right now. All of mankind has sinned, and that death enters into the human race by sin. But what if you're delivered from it?
There you go. That's right. Come on.
But what if you're a new creation?
That's right.
What if you're no longer dead in your sins? Yeah. What if you're no longer under the dominion of sin?
That's right.
If you're not under the dominion of sin, you're not under the dominion of death.
That's right. Amen.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's right.
Death cannot control you. Now, will your body, if Jesus tarries, will your body grow old and die someday? Yeah, your body will. But guess what? You're not your body. And that should come at some good news for us, right? You are not your body. This is just a temporary tabernacle or a house that we live in. But the real you, your spirit, all right, and also you have an eternal soul, which your intellect and your thoughts, you know, you do understand that in eternity, your personality goes with you. The Bible says that our soul is eternal, all right? Like when we get to heaven and you have loved ones up there, guess what? They're going to still be them. They won't have any negative thoughts. They won't have the bad side of the soul or the renewing part of the soul, but they will still have their personality. They will still have their sense of humor. They will still look like them, except a better form of them, a more beautiful form of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right? And so the Bible says that death entered in by sin, but what if we're redeemed from it? What if you're not under the dominion of it? See, this is what is going on the earth. This is what makes the church so miraculous. Light and dark are colliding on this earth right now. We have a race of man without Christ that is under the dominion and control of sin. They're under the control of death. They're under the control of fear. They're under control of disease and poverty and lack and depression. Isn't that what the world is apart from Jesus? Isn't that what your life was like before Jesus? Yes, it was. Absolutely. But now we're the redeemed of the Lord. And so now this is going to make the Great Commission is going to make a whole lot more sense to us. Imagine if there was a race of man on the earth not controlled by the sin that's running the world. What if we're not controlled by the sin that's in the political system? What if we're not under control of the sin that's in the healthcare system?
That's right, sure.
Or the economic system? Yeah. You're not under control of it. Praise the Lord. So just remember, no matter what sinner is in the White House, guess what? You're delivered.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, praise the Lord. Because that seems to be about our only choices these days.
Yeah.
Right? But guess what? You're on the throne.
Yes.
Jesus is on the throne. You're not under the control of sin, death, Satan, none of it. Well, I'm glad this really is helping you. It sure is helping me. Say, well, Pastor, it's so hot in here, I can't hear myself think. Well, I don't believe that. Because I'll guarantee I'm sweating more than you are. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so you see there in verse 12, it says, by one man, sin entered into the world, death entered by that sin. Go down to verse 17. Let's look at the other side of it. Notice it says, for if one man's offense, death reigned by one, destruction reigned, sin and darkness reigned because of Adam's sin, much more. Everyone say, much more. Oh, come on. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace, is that anybody in here?
Yeah.
And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, do you see the difference?
Yeah.
The world under the dominion of sin, they are under control of it. But now here's the other side, a race of man, a breed of mankind, a miraculous church that'll reign in this life.
Yeah.
Why are we going to reign in this life? Because we're not under the control of the sin that the world is. Not the death, not the destruction, not the sickness, not the fear, not the depression. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's like if there's a dark cloud on this earth, well, guess what? You're not below it, you're above it.
Yes.
Because you're seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
Don't be one of those Christians that just accept the dark cloud. Yeah, well, that's just the way it is. You know, this earth is this own. Just have to wait until the sweet by and by. No, because I'll tell you what. There is someone right now out there who needs Jesus, who needs you to be faithful. They need you to tell them. You remember, I remember growing up, I grew up in town, and we had a bunch of neighborhood kids, and we'd get together, and we played a game what we called sneaks. I don't know if it was just, it was kind of, I don't know if it was everywhere, I'm sure it was, but every neighborhood probably had its own version of it. But when we played sneaks, you know, when you the person that was it would go out and look for the people, and when they would catch them or find them, the person that was caught had to go sit on the front porch of the house of whoever's, you know, house we were playing at. And everyone who was caught would have to go and sit there, and they were in jail, so to speak. But if a person that wasn't caught, they could run around and get around from the guy that was it, and they would go and step on the porch, and they would yell, "Jailbreak!" And all the kids would go scattering. And then when you're out back and you're the one that's it and you're looking for everybody, all of a sudden you hear in the front yard someone yell, "Jailbreak." You go running to try to catch them all again. Well, do you realize that's exactly who we are? We're the ones running around this earth saying, "Jailbreak. Jailbreak. In the name of Jesus, be saved. In the name of Jesus, jailbreak, be healed. In the name of Jesus, jailbreak, don't be depressed anymore." Demons are trying to hound somebody, extreme depression, suicidal thoughts. Here, let me pray for you. Jailbreak. Hallelujah. There's a violent collision between light and darkness. You know, and you can ask yourself, either you're going to be a spectator in this thing or you're going to be a participator in this thing. Come on now. Praise the Lord. See, it says, because death reigned by Adam's offense, much more. So whatever the sin and whatever the devil controls on this earth, much more. Whatever reigning ability that sin thought it had, guess what? Much more. They that receive the abundance of grace shall reign in life. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yep, we know that as sin abounds, grace shall much more abound.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Now go with me to Mark chapter 16, and now the Great Commission is going to make a whole lot more sense to you. Because this gospel is a miraculous gospel.
Yes, it is.
There's somebody who is trapped in their sins today that's waiting for you.
That's right.
Waiting for you to jailbreak them.
That's right.
Because you're not under the dominion of it anymore.
Yeah.
You're a new creation being.
Yes, we are.
You are redeemed of the Lord.
Yes.
You are different.
Yeah.
You are not under the dominion.
Yeah.
God has delivered you.
Amen.
God has delivered you.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, but so many times, you know, believers just sit there, you know, and stuff just keeps pounding their life and they say nothing. Or they pray, and they pray wrong. God, deal with it. God, deal with it. God, deal with it. You say, "Thank you, Lord. You have given me the grace to deal with this."
Yeah.
Darkness, you are not permitted to go any further.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go over to Mark chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And Jesus said to them, these were some of the last words that Jesus said to, you could call it, the church before he left. He was talking to his disciples, who would, of course, be part of the first generation of Christians who would build the church, right? And it said, and Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go and preach the gospel. He said, now, when you receive God's Spirit within you, God is going to supernaturally open doors for you to minister the gospel to people. That's the assignment. That's the commission upon the church. Amen. Come on, folks. Don't let the heat slow you down. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, born again, delivered, and set free." He that believes shall be jailbroke, right? Jailbreak, you get them out. But he that believes not shall be damned. Notice, it is not your job to make people believe. It is your job to proclaim. The word preach means to proclaim. Praise the Lord. Now verse 17, notice that the gospel of Jesus is not a preaching gospel only. It's a preaching gospel first, but it's not a preaching gospel only. All right? Of course, none of the rest of it is going to matter if they don't get saved or born again, right? But notice here in verse 17, now we start to see supernatural elements. Of course, the preaching of the gospel is supernatural. It is supernatural. All right? And he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. We have believers here today?
Yes.
All right. So it's not just pastors. It's not just prophets. It's for believers.
Yes.
And Jesus is speaking here. He says, in my name, the believers shall cast out devils. The word devils is just the word for demon.
Sure.
All right. So notice, this is a gospel that preaches salvation. And it's a gospel that casts out demons.
Yes.
Who's going to do that? The believers. Why? Because they are not under the dominion of sin anymore.
Right.
See, what is going to hinder the church is simply this, sin consciousness.
Yeah.
Always feeling unworthy. Always feeling like you're not good enough. Well, get over it. You weren't good enough, neither was I, but Jesus is always good enough for us. Well, I'm not worthy to lay my hands on somebody and pray for them. Well, guess what? You didn't go to the cross for yourself. So the good news is that Jesus was worthy for you, therefore you can. Because when I notice he said, in my name. It's not you and your ability, all right? It's the name of Jesus that's going to set them free. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. But when you see somebody who is just tormented day in, day out with depression, you need to seek God about it. Now, you can't just go up and just surprise people and say, I'm going to cast a demon out of you. You do that, you're going to have yourself some interesting moments, all right? You need to make sure and understand that, first of all, they need to be willing.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right? Or you need an unction of the Holy Ghost. You need to be led. Casting out demons is not something that you just, you know, walk through the street and, you know, people that, you know, don't want to listen to you and stuff, if they're not giving you permission, a lot of those times those demons will stay there because those people want them there.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
They want to live in evil. And so it requires, you know, their desire to be free. Amen. And you can't just say, well, I'm going to go up and just, you know, lay my hands on somebody. But I'll tell you what, if you have a loved one, if you have a friend who's willing and open for help, and I mean, they are just nonstop harassed, you need to be seeking God about that. And listen, not every time you cast out a demon out of somebody is it going to be like some violent, crazy thing. You know, not every time are they going to, you know, foam at the mouth and shake on the floor and things like that. It might not look or feel very dramatic at all. Praise the Lord. You know, so many times, well, it's got to look a certain way. This has got to happen. No, not necessarily. All right. But he says in verse 17, these signs, the word signs means wonders and miracles, shall follow the believers. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
There it is. Jesus said this new breed of mankind on the earth, they're going to be casting out demons. They're going to be speaking with new tongues. Why? That is a supernatural experience.
Yes.
Now it's one that is available for every believer.
Yes.
No, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. However, speaking in tongues is an endowment, the baptism of the Spirit, that is available to every believer.
Yes.
Verse 18. So they're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in supernatural tongues. He said, they shall take up serpents. Oh, boy. We need a little little Bible interpretation right here. Because we know that there's been folks that have taken this verse and thought, well, we should probably dance around with poisonous snakes and think, you know, that'll prove how faithful we are. Well, no, those people get bit.
Yes,
those people die.
Yeah.
You know, all right? It's not talking about snake handling. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All right? It's not talking about a literal snake. It's talking about a demonic personality that you should rule or have authority over them.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? It says, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. See, in the early days of the church, the Christians were so persecuted that the Jews were trying to poison them to death. And God said, even when they try to kill you, even when the devil tries to take you out early, I am going to supernaturally protect your life. Supernatural protection. Hallelujah. And notice the last part. He says, and they, the believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So believers are casting out demons. They're speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. They're taking authority over the devil. They have supernatural protection. And they're laying hands on the sick, and the sick are being healed.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Why? Because we're not under the dominion. If you were under the dominion of sin, you couldn't lay your hands on the sick and get them healed.
Right.
If you were under the dominion of sin, you can't cast out a demon.
No, you're right.
Yeah. If you're under the dominion of sin, you cannot receive the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you're on the devil's turf, God can't supernaturally protect you. But when you're on God's turf, he can. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is exciting to me. Verse 20. Now notice it says in verse 20, they went forth. They went forth. They preached everywhere. The Lord was working with them, not for them. See, Christians are waiting for God to work for them. God isn't going to move until you move.
That's right. Good word. Yes.
I'm waiting for God to do something. I'm waiting for God to minister to my sick relative. God's saying, no, I told you to.
That's right.
I'm waiting for God to save my wayward relative. God said, no, you tell them.
That's right.
I'm waiting for God to, you know, I'm waiting for him to do. No, he said, I have given you the assignment and the commission. You go out.
That's right. Amen.
They went forth. They preached everywhere. Notice they were first, they were willing to talk to people. The miracles that you've been needing God, you know, miracles that you've been waiting for are on the other side of you winning souls. Because I'll tell you what, every grace, every blessing, every promise, every healing, every financial help, everything in this life, what does it come to us for? It comes to us for the harvest. Listen, I don't care if a Christian is blessed. I don't care with money, with family, with things and all, you know, everything in life. But if they're not winning souls, what's it for? Or if they're not participating and providing resources so souls can be saved, what's it for? Because, see, it's like this. It's like a faucet. You know, if a faucet's not on, all that water in the world can be backed up in the pipes. But it's not going to replace itself until it's turned on. It's, the flow isn't going to happen until it's turned on. In the same way, God's power is all in there waiting to come out. But that power is to motivate the church to win souls on this earth. And the healing and the deliverance and all those in the tongues and all that was to what? Support the Great Commission. I don't care. You can pray in tongues 3 hours a day. Have you won any souls? Because that's what it's for. That might just upset your theology, but do you understand that the only times tongues was mentioned in the Word was for, first and foremost, the winning of souls? No, don't misunderstand it. It's to empower the church so the church will be empowered to win the world. Right? It wasn't just for you to sit there and just have this little party with God with you and just him. It was to strengthen you. Power, right? Can you bring up Acts 1:8 real quick? I'll just show you, just so you know. Believe me. You say, well, Pastor, I like to pray in tongues a lot. Yes, and you should. That's wonderful. However, what good is it going to do if you never lead someone to Christ? I know that's going to upset somebody, and I'm not saying that the only function, but it is first and foremost why it was given. Jesus told them that under the power of the Holy Ghost, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's telling them what's going to happen in Acts 2:4, and part of it was speaking in other tongues. And Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. What was that power for? It was power to witness. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14? Tongues are not a sign to believers, but unto unbelievers. It's always mentioned in conjunction with the harvest of souls. And so often, you know, we just say, well, I'm just going to pray in tongues for my stuff. Have you witnessed to that coworker? Have you brought anyone to church lately? Have you laid hands on the sick? What is it? It's to empower you for the Great Commission. Not to play a Pentecostal party for just you and your house. Yes, it blesses you. But that power of God that's waiting behind that is going to start flowing when we start using these things for what it was ultimately intended for. You know who God's going to provide for? Do you know what churches God's going to fund in these days? Soul-winning churches. You know what households God's going to fund in these days? Soul-winning households. Come on. You know? You know who God's going to fund in these days? Know what businesses he's going to fund? Those that are providing resources for the gospel. Homes that are providing resources for the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, see, this is the Great Commission. It's a supernatural gospel with a supernatural church that is not under the dominion. But see, so often our services, in this church included, our services are about getting Christians free. You know, it's always about getting a Christian free. Listen, and don't feel condemned if you're going through stuff. But we should grow to a point where we say, I am going to speak to the darkness. I am not going to have the preacher lay hands on me for me to get delivered. There's going to come a time where we have to grow up to the point where we say, I'm delivered. And I'm not the needy one. I am going to be the supply. You know, but a lot of Christian ministry, do you know what it ends up being? It becomes a ministry to get people free who are already free. What was healing for? Read the Gospels. It brought in multitudes who didn't know God. Come on now. It was a dinner bell for the gospel. That deliverance, I'll tell you what. You know, when you're talking and dealing with somebody that's going through extreme depression and anxiety, what an opportunity for you to say, well, you know what? I know the Lord can deal with that. I know the Lord has the answer for that. Are you born again? Have you ever invited Jesus into your heart? What an opportunity. Bring them into your life. That depression will not be able to stay forever. Come on now. What an opportunity it is to win souls, to grow the church. And I don't mean just this church, but grow the family of God in this earth. Oh, well, I'll just let the pastor lay hands on the sick. No. Well, I'll let the pastor cast out the demon. No. Said those that believe. Yes. I'll let the pastor do this. We'll just let the ministers handle it. Well, guess what? That's who you are. That's right. You know, meaning you are the proclaimers. No, you're not in a ministry office. All right? But yes, you have a ministry every day of your life when you're at work or you're at school, wherever you are at. Oh, yes. Amen. And see, in verse 20, they went forth. Yes. That's right. God didn't go forth. He just said, I'll work with them when they finally go. Yes. What God's going to deal with you? He's going to work with you when you finally step out.
Yes. Amen.
The first step is not God's. The first step is yours. He said, and you'll receive power. So what if we receive that power of the baptism of the Spirit, but yet we never witness? Right? Amen. I want to bring up that verse real quick. It's over there in 1 Corinthians 14, just to show you again. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Everywhere you see, this, you know, it first and foremost is to serve the Great Commission.
Yeah.
know, but I just pray in tongues. Just, you know, of course we pray. Yes, it builds our faith. Yes, it helps us communicate with God. Yes, it is a divine flow. Yes, we need it in our personal walk with God. Hallelujah. I am not diminishing that. I'm just saying, where is it first mentioned? It is always first mentioned dealing with winning souls. Because if you're not built up, how are you going to win anybody to the Lord? All right? It says, but prophesying service not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a lot of answers in that verse for you. A lot of answers. But what is it? It's a token. It's a sign. It's a miracle. It's a wonder for unbelievers. Right? I'll tell you what. They are going to look at, you see, there's something supernatural about somebody who fellowships with God. It draws unbelievers to them to be influenced. See, when you go in there and you spend that time fellowshipping with God and that power gets on you, you're like a fire. You ever notice this about campfires? People come to watch them burn. That's what believers need to be. You need to be on fire so people will want to watch you burn. Amen. Did you get some help today? See, we can never lose sight that this church is a Great Commission church. All right? The reason why this church is growing and is going to continue to grow and plant new churches is because first things are first. Amen. The word is first. Salvation is first. Right? Winning the harvest is first. All these things, all these blessings, whether it's healing or prosperity, why do we preach those things? To make sure that the church is in a place to fulfill the Great Commission. You're not going to fulfill it if all we do is squabble over our financial crisis. It's going to distract us from winning souls. If the only thing we do is take care of the symptoms in our bodies, it's going to distract us from winning souls. If the only thing we have to do is talk about how afraid we are and depressed we are all the time, it's going to distract away from winning souls. It's got to come a point where the people of God, they realize, I'm alive, I'm raised, I'm seated, I'm delivered. You know, I've received the power, so I will go forth. Not so we can just, you know, try to get Christians free, who God says is already free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But yet the church don't act free. Now, if you're facing something and you're needing healing in your body, that is not a way to feel, you know, guilty or something like that. God loves the believer and will minister to the believer, okay? But there comes a time where we don't just push it off on you know what? We're going to do something a little different. You know, the Bible talks about many ways to minister healing, and we're going to do something a little bit different. You know, I sent out a text yesterday about receiving healing and ministering healing. There's a couple of ways. The Bible says the first ministry of healing is what? Number one, the word. Right? Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word, and it healed them. All right? These words are life to them that find it, health to all their flesh. All right, the word is the seed that produces healing. We talked about another way to minister healing today, the laying on of hands, and the sick shall recover. All right, that's another way. Also, the highest way to receive is to just simply use your faith and say, I believe, I receive. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Let's do something a little different. Going to minister to you, and guess what? I'm not going to lay a hand on you. I'm going to do something different, because I'll tell you what, that you know, we are in a place where it's available. Healing is in the air. It's waiting for you to just pull it right out of the air and, you know, and minister to your need. Hallelujah. So let's just take a moment. Let's just worship God. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. You're so good. Father, we thank you that healing is for us. We're the church. We're delivered. We're raised. We're alive. We're raised. We're seated. We're not under the power of darkness, not any form of it. Father, all death, all sickness, all disease, all depression, all fear, it entered the world through sin, through Adam's sin, and it passed upon all of humanity. But then you sent your Son. And that those that would call upon him, sin shall not have dominion over them. They shall be delivered from the power of darkness. in any of its forms. Father, we thank you. And Father, I thank you. I look out and I see a congregation of people that are ready, willing, and able, Father, to be a resource for the Great Commission. Father, that they will go forth and you will work with them, confirming the word with signs following. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Father. We thank you that the miracles of God are there to reach the harvest. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Now, with eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're here today, if there's something in your body, all right, if there's any kind of illness, any kind of condition, any kind of pain, all right, what we're going to do is that in a moment, we're going to just start praising and worshiping God. And during that time, you are going to open your mouth and you are going to speak. If it is pain, then I want you to speak to it. If it's a known condition, if it's diagnosed, meaning you know the name of it, use that name and say, in the name of Jesus. You know, what? I don't care if it, for instance, if it was some kind of cancer, you would say, in the name of Jesus, cancer, I speak to you and I put you on notice. You are to remove yourself from this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, you might be standing here and say, oh, this is just weird. I'll just do this when I get home. No, do it now where faith is high. Amen. And if you're here and you're not dealing with one of those conditions or something, then what are you doing? You're praising God. You're charging the atmosphere so others can receive. And you just simply say, if you're one of the ones that need to receive, you just say, Father, I believe I receive your healing in my body. That's your job. Amen. So let's go ahead and do that. Now, as we praise and worship, if you are one that is in need of healing in your body, you speak to that thing, number one, and say, in the name of Jesus, I am delivered from you. Get off the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, and then the second thing you say is, I believe I receive God's healing in my body. All right, let's just do that right now. Let's just praise him. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you're good and you're worthy to be praised. Come on, folks, if you need to receive it, you speak those things. Number one, darkness, get off my body. Number two, I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. You're so good. Father, we are alive in Christ. We're raised with him. We're seated with him. No form or death of darkness should prevent the church on this earth. Father, for too long, the church has been so just absolved in its own issues. And Father, we forget that this power is to set us free so that we can set others free. So, Father, we praise you. So if you need to take another second, you're sitting there and your mind is trying to wrestle you. You know, well, the person next to me might hear me say these things. Who cares? They're with you. They're not against you. So take this moment, one more minute. Father, we praise you. We glorify you today. You are so good, worthy to be praised. We bless you. We worship you. Thank you, Father.